All right, so the date is June 17th, 2022. My name is Dulce Gutierrez Vasquez. I am the interviewer with the Wenatchee Valley Museum and Cultural Center for the Oral History Project of Collecting Latinx Community Stories. I am at Lewis and Clark Elementary with Alfonso Lopez, who is the principal here. Alfonso, could you tell me your full name and date of birth and where you were born?
Yes, my name is Alfonso Lopez, and I was born in Mexico, and my date of birth is June 23, 1961.
What part of Mexico were you born?
Oaxaca, Oaxaca State.
Oh, you too. Oaxaca State. What part of Oaxaca?
All right. Yeah, I'm from Oaxaca, Oaxaca State.
What city in Oaxaca, though?
What's that?
What city in Oaxaca?
This is not a city. It is a small town that is called Dolores. Mm-hmm. That is the name of this small town. It's like a little village. Mm-hmm. But the closest city this place is to is Huajuapan de León.
Okay. That's where my family's from.
All right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you gone back to Dolores since you've left?
Oh, yeah. I have gone a few times since I left, and I still have roots and a house there that I go when I take the time to go there.
Okay. Thank you. That's a long way from Wenatchee. What brought you or your family to this area?
Let me begin by saying that I pursued a career in Mexico, mm-hmm. so I became a teacher at the age of 19. So I taught in Mexican schools for 5 years, and then after 5 years, I decided to come to the U.S. just with the goal in mind that I wanted to learn English, and then I wanted to go back to Mexico and keep teaching in Mexican schools, but then teach English. That was the original plan that brought me to the U.S. So when I left, I just asked for permission from my job, mm-hmm. and I thought that I was going to be ready to go back in 6 months. I just planned to come for mm-hmm. 6 months, but then things changed. I came here and I didn't have a chance to learn English, especially in 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's very short time to learn a second language. Even worse, when I came, I had to work in the apple orchards. And then there, all you find is Latinos mm-hmm. that are speaking Spanish. So therefore, I didn't have any chance to be exposed to English or had a chance to go to school during these 6 months. At the end of these 6 months, I could have gone back to Mexico, but I felt like I hadn't accomplished my goal, so I decided to stay. So I lost my job in Mexico, and I just stayed. And I continued working in the apple orchards for about 6 to 7 years. With that, again, even with these many years, I didn't have a chance to learn enough English, a little bit, throughout these years. So when I got married, I brought my wife, and we ended up also working in an apple orchard, but the day came when the job was done mm-hmm. because it was seasonal. So we didn't have a place where to stay, and that took me to Ellensburg, where I found a job for me working in a cattle ranch, doing all kinds of things like cleaning the horses' stalls, mowing the yard, things like that is what I did for 4 years. As I was learning more English, I was escalating positions there in this cattle ranch until one day after 4 years, I decided to go back to school here in the U.S. and get my credentials again to become a teacher. So that is basically what brought me to the U.S. to learn English.
How old were you when you came?
I was 26 years old when I decided to come to the U.S. when I came.
It's really young.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but still, I had my chance to see mm-hmm. other culture, mm-hmm. How things work here in the U.S., and then obviously it changed my life forever. Mm-hmm. Because I noticed how different and how alike we are with the Anglo culture. Mm-hmm. And then by working with Latinos and by working with Anglos in these jobs, that made me a different perspective. So throughout the years, I learned the language, and that is a key component of be part of the culture in the U.S. And when I didn't know English, I had a different perspective. Later, when I learned English, obviously my perspective changed. And then when I went into education, it was even better because, again, I had to start when I started my classes, when I moved back to Wenatchee from Ellensburg, when I left the cattle ranch and I started my classes here in Wenatchee through Heritage University. Mm-hmm. Right away, I was hired in one of the schools here in Wenatchee, which is Lincoln Elementary School, and I went to work there as a teacher's aide while I was taking classes to get my certification. That took me 3 years to attend classes, and for those 3 years, I worked as a teacher's aide. And then in the evenings, I was taking the classes. Finally, after 3 years, and also moving from Lincoln to Lewis and Clark during those years, I got my degree as a teacher. And then the same day when I got my credentials, I was hired here in this school, Lewis and Clark, where I started teaching reading. That was my assignment, to teach reading in English, but also reading in Spanish. The numbers that we were getting in those years of kids coming from Latino roots was big. A lot of kids started to come to school, so the need for bilingual teachers was great. And one of the reasons why I was hired in this school, just to serve the Latino kids, teaching them in Spanish, reading in Spanish, but also to teaching them reading in English. That is the way my profession began 27 years ago in this school, Lewis and Clark.
Do you remember what year you started?
And that was in 1994. So it's been quite a few years, and I'm still here, but this is my last year in this school too. So I'm moving out of this school after 27 years.
Oh, yeah. What comes next for you?
I've been asked to do the Hispanic Director of Hispanic Relations in the Wenatchee School District. So I'll be working more directly with Spanish-speaking people, Latinos, to bring them closer to education, closer to schools, to get opportunities, to be more visible, to have a voice, mm-hmm. To have more equity in education. Because in the Wenatchee School District, we have grown tremendously in the Latino group. And with that in mind, we still don't have representation in different places in the community and society. So the Wenatchee School District is very open to start making those connections and having people that can link their experiences with the people that they represent, and that is my case. That's why on July 1st, I'll be making this change.
So after 30 years, you have a lot of experience and perspective on why that's so important. How do you think teaching has changed in Wenatchee from when you started 27 years ago to now? Where do you think the differences are? Or what would young you be surprised about?
Well, for sure things have changed, starting by the numbers again and the representations that we have of the numbers of Latinos and Anglos and other cultures or groups that we have in education. we were used to teach only in English to English speaking students when I first came. We were used to a population that spoke English. But then when Latinos started to come to school, obviously the challenge was huge for schools because we didn't know how to teach those students who did not know English. And besides, they were bringing a new culture. And culture is a big thing in schools too, because we need to understand our students in order for them to achieve. If we don't understand their culture, we don't understand the way they see things, obviously that represents a big challenge. So a change that I have seen throughout the years is that schools, little by little, it's going very slow, but little by little, we are opening doors for the underserved students, which are Latinos. And when I say opening doors, what I mean by that is, for example, the schools are hiring bilingual teachers, although they don't teach in Spanish, but that connection or that skill is so imperative, because the teachers need to communicate with parents, and many parents don't speak English. And then if they are not bilingual, how are they going to communicate? That is a struggle. So districts like Wenatchee are more open in hiring more diverse educators that can serve students and families in a better way. Now, I'm talking about Wenatchee. That is my perspective. That is one part that has changed. But again, we're not there yet where we need to be. We need a lot of more representation and people that can serve not only Latinos but also Caucasian students and other groups. So we need more diversity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. where would you like the direction of schools to go?
For the years and the experiences that I brought into education these many years, I know how difficult it is for Latinos to accommodate the schools because of the different beliefs in their culture, but also the language. But one of the things that I see in education is that if the United States is one of the first world countries, we still need to do things a little different, in my view, in education. And one of them is just educate our kids and our youth in a way that they are more global citizens, people that are more prepared to understand the world, because our world is shrinking, is becoming smaller. Not only that, but I would like to see schools teaching languages. Because it's very obvious that whoever speaks two or three languages are more preparing life for themselves, but also for the country. That would be a great benefit for our country to have people educated that way. Another aspect is to teach students how to work together. Because many times we don't do that. Kids don't understand one group or the other one, and In schools, we need to make an effort to bring all perspectives together and teach students how to live together. I'm leading this school, or I was leading this school, where for 16 years we have had a program that is called Dual Language. And in this program, those are the things that we teach. We teach our students to become biliterate, bilingual, and bicultural. And if we do this in a good way, obviously we're doing the job. And that is what I would like to see in the country, more schools doing this. Because preparing kids this way is preparing them for life. And it's, again, not only for them, but it's for the country.
So when I was researching and preparing for this interview, I saw that the dual language program that you've been a part of has received a lot of recognition, including national recognition. I saw that in 2019, you got the National Distinguished Principal of the Year Award, and what was that like for you?
I'm going to begin with other awards that I got, not because I want to be, mentioning my name or make my name bigger or something like that. The reason why I want to share this is that I feel like as an educator, I have a responsibility to be role model for kids that are coming through the system. And then the more they know that things can be accomplished, the more they'll believe in themselves. And then I will feel like I'm doing my job. So in 1994, I got one of the first awards here in Washington. That it was called the Excellence in Teaching, a award that brought some name to the school. And that was a state award. Then in 1996, I got a national award that is called the Milken Family Foundation Award. That is nationally, and awards to teachers from every state. And with that recognition is coming to the profession, but also to the school, but also to the district. And then when the students start seeing you that way, they believe that things can be accomplished. And then in 2019, I was awarded with the Principal of the Year for Washington State. And then obviously that gave me the opportunity to do things for kids, for the community, and one of them was to have the blessing to visit the White House and then have a chance to talk to educators at a national level and also people that are leading education in the U.S. That was one of my biggest blessings that I have gotten in life, because they gave me a perspective of how things work at a national level, but also it gave name to this school with the program that we're having, the dual language program, which is what I'm all about, because I really believe that this is the way to educate kids.
Mm-hmm. So the language program is really celebrated now. Has that always been the case, or did the community receive it differently when you first started?
Yeah, absolutely. When we started, our communities and our political views and things are changing as years come by. At the beginning, when we started with this program 16 years ago, we didn't have a good reception. People were not accepting the program very well for views, for their own views. Like, we live in the U.S., the national language of our country is English. Why to do Spanish? Why to become a school that is like a Mexican school? Things like that. And obviously, many people rejected the idea that this school should be teaching all kids in two languages. But time went by, and little by little, slowly, people have understood that who doesn't want their own kids to get the benefits of being bilingual, bicultural, and biliterate, that is going to open more doors for them. Who doesn't like that? We need doctors, we need teachers, we need lawyers that can serve in two or three languages. And if we prepare the kids that way, obviously the doors are open for them. And again, I'm saying for the country too, because who knows, these kids can go and work in other countries as well. Nowadays, there are different technology companies that are hiring people that need to work with other countries, many countries in the world. And if they, our kids, our people speak those languages, obviously we will be more powerful. So that's why I'm sold with this idea that this is the way to go.
Thank you. Earlier you talked about how it was important for schools to recognize students' culture. Are there certain traditional aspects of your culture that are important to you?
Yeah, absolutely. When you lose your language, you lose your roots, and you lose your culture completely, because language is culture. If you cannot communicate in that language, obviously many things cannot be translated into the other language. So that is one of the main aspects that I would encourage people, not only Latinos, but other people that come from other countries with another language, to cultivate, to nurture, to keep the language, because the language is culture again. And we see it in the Latino community here, how people, when they speak and maintain their language, how different they behave, because they know their culture, they know their roots. Little by little, one of the changes that I'm seeing, though, is that young students, little kids, when they come to schools, descendants of Latinos, they come speaking Spanish, but as they go to school and the schools teach in English only, they start losing their Spanish. And if they don't lose it completely, they don't later speak it correctly. And that is obviously a big loss, because now, by having this asset of speaking one language when they are young, why not to nurture it and then learn the English language in the schools and then become bilingual in life? That is going to give you all these benefits.
Yes, that's where I lost a lot of it, but I'm trying to relearn a lot of it now too.
Yes.
I read really slow in Spanish. Are there any other traditions that have been important besides language for you, for your family, that you've kept?
Particularly for my family, and I would like also the Latino group to continue having traditions like the way we celebrate Mother's Day, for example. That is just one example. We are losing this tradition in the U.S., because we don't celebrate it the same way we celebrate in Mexico. For example, this tradition is celebrated in schools in Mexico with programs in schools. Here, the schools don't do it. In this school, we do it. But it's a way to celebrate someone that is very important in the Latino culture. Well, that's one of the things that I would like to keep. Keep those beliefs that Los Tres Reyes Magos, for kids that grew up in Mexico especially, they believe in these three kings bringing some prizes or toys on, I believe, is January 6th. When they bring these toys, because they have they've been behaving nicely, this hasn't come to with Latinos to the U.S., and instead we celebrate Santa Claus, which there is nothing wrong, but what I'm saying is those part of the Latino or Mexican culture is we're losing those. Other aspects, like more important aspects, I guess, is like the way our language works, Spanish, and how much of the respect is embedded in the language, which is not in the English language. And if we don't speak Spanish, then we lose that respect to elders. For example, the word usted, which is an imperative, in my view, to keep using to give respect to people that deserve respect, is used in Spanish. Now, with the new generations, even if they speak Spanish in our communities, they don't use this term, and then that respect is lost right there. So for traditions like those, aspects like those are important. It's important to illustrate that being Latino is nothing wrong. Being Latino means, to me, a hard worker, a person that left their country, other countries, and came to the U.S. looking for better opportunities, most of Latinos are hard workers. I can say most of them, most of them. And then we are here to provide with our intelligence or with our physical skills. And when we talk about Latinos coming and taking away things, that is completely wrong.
When you think about your childhood and your family, what were the traditions that meant the most to you?
Well, I mentioned already some of those because they are attached to prizes or things that we could earn by being good. But other aspects, when I was young, growing up in Mexico, one of the traditions that I wish we still had was the fact that we were used to get together as kids and have different games that we don't have anymore. Nowadays, our kids are more exposed to technology with phones, iPhones, TV, little by little is less, but now kids are using a lot of phones and video games through the phones or at home that obviously are not considered a good part of the education, because instead of learning something good or positive, they are learning something violent most of the times. For things like those, for things like this, one of the things that I really appreciate is the way I grew up with my friends playing games like marbles and soccer, maybe with not even a soccer ball. Let me see what other things I still remember. One of the traditions too that I think it's really important for Latinos is I remember the days when we didn't have a TV or even radio, and how beautiful it was to sit down with our families at dinner time, and then the parents sharing their stories and their traditions orally. And then that's the way we learn a lot of things, by listening to our parents. And obviously that has a lot of benefits too, because that keeps the parents and the kids and the families more together, eating together, sharing stories together, more respect by listening to our parents, the things that they knew, things that in our Latino community and also in our Latino and our Anglo group, we are losing or we have lost. Right now, it's very rare to find families that spend time with their kids, sharing stories or even reading books to them, things like that. It's easier in this new way of living, new way of doing things is just buy a phone for the kid and then leave me alone, because I have to work or I have to work two jobs, and then I don't have time for my kids. And that obviously comes later, translates into disconnection between the parents and the kids, and that translates later into troubles too.
Mm-hmm. Do you have kids?
I do.
Were you able to teach them, you know, the games that you played, canicas or anything?
Yeah, obviously, because those are the games that I learned when they were young, when they were little, when they were little kids. We played all these games that I was used to play. Again, as time went by, obviously they got into the new culture, mm-hmm. and then they played later different games. But yes, for your question, yes, I had a chance to teach all these games that I learned. And again, now that they are more adults, they still remember these games and they enjoy them a lot too. Nowadays, they still play a little bit.
Hopefully, they'll pass it down to yeah. the kids.
Hopefully, because it's part of what we are, we the Latinos. Mm-hmm.
So you are moving on to a new position, and you've seen, you know, the community change in a lot in these last 30 years. Do you have any goals or hopes for yourself or for the community for the future?
Absolutely. Like I said, I spent 27 years in this school, and I think we built a good program with the beliefs that I shared before, a better education for all kids. Now that I'm moving into something different, yes, I have goals and dreams that I still want to accomplish. And one of them is to integrate the community more closely, because when you believe that diversity brings strength, then that is a good start. And I really believe that that is the case. In my new position, my goal, my dream is to connect the Latino community more with the things that we do, starting with the school. Make them aware that there are so many opportunities, and many times because we don't know them, then we miss those opportunities for our kids. But not only that, but bring the perspective of Latinos into education, because people are very smart. They are intelligent. They have ideas. But there is no connection where they can come and share their ideas openly. So the education would be more equal, with more equity. That's why my goal is to bring the community more into education, but also into other aspects as well.
What about for your personal goal?
For my personal goals, I think I've been blessed with all the things that have happened in my life. Now that I'm approaching to retirement, before I go, I never expected this position to be offered to me, the one that we're talking about, the Director of Latino Relationships with the Wenatchee School District. I never expected this to happen, but my goal was to become a superintendent. I have my credentials to become a superintendent and lead a district. And my goal was to do that or start applying and looking for a job in 2 years before I get to the point where I need to retire. But now with this opportunity, I still have that goal in mind that someday, maybe not in 2 years, but in 3 years or four, I'll be striving to become a superintendent.
Okay, I'll come check on you in 4 years.
All right.
If you're a superintendent. if there's one message that you would like the Wenatchee community to know about Latinos, what would it be?
I mentioned it before, and I think it's pretty strong, but the message would be that Latinos have come here looking for opportunities, have come here to provide for their families, but also in that quest, they have provided for the entire community. Whatever Latinos do is part of this machine of producing for everybody. And as Latinos are more time here, they are producing more and more and more. Those are the ones that bring basically the food to the table. And when people think that Latinos have come to take away, that is not the truth. Legal or illegal, people have come to provide. And then if our communities are flourishing and growing, a lot has to do with what Latinos do. Therefore, I hope that there would be more understanding from all cultures what Latinos are here for and how much they are producing, not only physically but mentally too. Young people are coming, they are graduating, and they are taking jobs already that are good for them again, but good for the country with different perspectives. Yeah, that would be the message that we need. Whoever listens to this message, that they need to be more open-minded to understand Latinos better. And a lot of people do already, and they know how much work and how hard working Latinos are, but there are still people that don't understand that.
All right, thank you. That's a really good message to end on. Thank you for your time for this interview. I can really see how your story, it really tells the story of Wenatchee and how it changes and hopefully how it continues to change.
Well, thank you very much.